The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Lamborghini, Wedding Crashers, Roomba, Apology.
Wow!
Are we actually in the studio right now?
Brian with a Y, it's so good to see you.
Yeah, I feel like it's been months.
Well, we did take, I think we took a month off, yeah. Pretty much. I mean, nothing really happened. We just wanted to take a break. Nothing significant took place, and everything's going on exactly as it's always been.
I just had this thought. In an earlier episode, we talked about we don't know where we're going to be in a couple of months because we're recording so far ahead. Many things could have changed by now.
Mm-hmm.
And wow.
Wow. Didn't see this one coming.
No, there was a lot.
We were joking about Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah.
No, a lot more happened than that.
Yeah, it happened a lot sooner than we thought
it did.
It might.
So I've got quite the bag of things. Do you want to talk about something happening in your life recently? We can start there before we transition into the 4,000 things that I have. Or where do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I actually lost my dad recently, and so did you. So it's been, you kind of knew yours was happening, and mine just, it's actually the day that I took you to the hospital because I thought you were going to die. Right. With your heart was going to explode or whatever it was doing. We were joking about you dying to the nurses and stuff, and they were kind of giggling, ha, ha, ha. And then I got a call.
Yeah.
And it was the worst phone call I've ever received in my entire life.
Yeah, no, it was rough watching you get out of there. Like, I was like, oh, my God. What else could possibly happen? And again, I'm not saying, I mean, fucking 60% of my shit is my own fault.
60?
I mean, if you break it into a pie chart.
should we do that?
Because dad and cancer and AFib heart. I'm going to go ahead and say those weren't my fault.
That's true. COVID had something to do with the heart thing, right?
Which I don't even know if that was my fault. I guess it could have been. So anyway, I'll get to the things that were my fault. But yeah, sitting in that hospital bed, watching you get that phone call, it was surreal. It was awful, man. I feel so bad.
Yeah, the crazy thing was my sister called me and I answer the phone and I'm like, what? I didn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So then I peek because I walked out of the room to answer the phone. I walked back in there and I'm like, I think my dad just died.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just like the nurses and everyone in there just kind of like froze and looked over like,
what?
What's going on?
What room is he in? No, not here.
Yeah, it's, you know, 200 or 100 and however many miles away.
If there's any positive to you having to take off and leave me in the hospital to die, it's that I got an Uber ride home and he was super nice.
Oh, that's nice.
He was very anti-conspiracy theory. He was just ripping on a bunch of people. I was like, thank God. I was
refreshing.
Like, I needed this. I did not expect that from you. And so that was a good thing.
It was just so wild because I was like, I felt bad leaving you because I was like, I didn't know if you were going to be all right.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm sorry, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like any other situation, I would have stayed there, but I was like, I have to go.
I'm going to hold it against you for the rest of your life.
And
you know, I knew I was going to be okay because I could tell because no one was panicking really in the room.
Well,
like, they were a little nervous, but I was like,
I walked out there to the lady. I'm like, he's kind of getting worse. And she's like, oh, okay. And just kind of goes, oh, okay. And then went right back to her computer. I'm like, did you hear what I just said?
Are you listening to me?
Yeah. So they must have been like, oh, this is a... This is the way it's going
to
happen.
He's a grabber by her doctor
she's like,
jacket.
I'm doing
Are you even listening to
I'm
me?
I'm updating my MySpace.
My friend Joe is getting worse.
The one right here, right that here I think it might die.
Right.
He's right in front of you.
Two paces.
Yeah.
Two paces.
If you get up and walk around the table, you could see him. That guy.
Please do that.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing well in there.
I'm sorry you have to update your top 8 friends or whatever. Sorry to disturb you.
That would be even worse if they wouldn't check on me and you looked over their shoulder and they were using MySpace. You're like, what is happening? Like, what are you doing?
And they're all
how'd you get your job?
They were all sitting around talking about, oh, they're moving in order. Because remember when that used to happen?
They're all moving me out of their top 8.
Yeah, it's going to move. Because do you remember when you do that? Because it was like kind of the order of your friends. So however you did that, your friend would be like, wait, why did I move back a spot? What did I say?
Yeah, oh, my God. What song is my profile on my picture? Right? My profile song right now, whatever it's called. Okay, well, I mean, that I can't believe. I don't even know what the odds are. Because my dad got diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, like, late last summer. So there's no way of knowing, like, when it was going to get this bad. And when it happened, it just progressed so damn fast. So statistically, for us both to lose our dads within 3 weeks... Is just the thing, it's a lot on its own.
The thing that's the most sickening is my dad just fucking retired.
That makes me sick to my. That's like one of my biggest fears, and I can tell by the way you're fired up about it. It's the same thing, where man, and this just happened to someone else too, where they just retired or their dad just retired, and they went on a trip, like a big fishing trip, and got in a fucking terrible accident and like paralyzed them. Mm-hmm. It's like, God damn it! Like you work, you grind your entire life to have these like final 20 years to do whatever the fuck you want. And it's just, that's like, that might be one of, if not the top fear of mine, is working all the way up to that point. And you're just like, okay, fucking finally. Mm-hmm. And something happens.
My dad worked for the same company for 41 years. We were at his retirement party. And we were having cake and all that. And, you know, they said, you want anybody want to say anything? I stood up and I was like, you know, we're so excited. My dad, he's worked so much. I was like, we're so excited to have him back.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do all this stuff. My grandkids are excited. He's excited. And he, you know, he showed us the letter that he sent to his boss to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like,
go fuck yourself.
Yeah. In a nice way. But he's like, you know,
he's like, what? It's like a push button in an envelope. It's like, what the fuck is this?
It's the technology these days. This is how they do it.
Right.
But yeah, he was just like, I enjoyed my time, my work, but it's time to live life how it's meant to be lived, spending time with my grandkids, traveling all over. Mm-hmm. And then a month and a half later, it's taken from him. It just makes me sick to my stomach.
It fucking sucks, man. I mean, super sorry.
And they came and picked him up in a Dodge minivan.
God damn it! What is with it? How did we... do we blame the education system?
I don't know.
Because a lot of people, when I mentioned my dad getting picked up in minivan, they're like, oh my God, that's so fucked up. That's, you know, whatever, darkly funny, whatever. And then your dad gets picked up in a minivan. And I don't know if Hollywood ruined this for us or, if, yeah, like I said, the education system, I just don't know what happens.
Yeah.
I thought it was totally different. That was going to be, I don't know. I understand that a hearse would take you to a cemetery. I just don't know what I thought was happening getting out of the home. And it wasn't that.
It wasn't,
it was not that.
And this van was parked out in front of the funeral home area.
Has like the spare tire on the back, the tiny wheel.
There was a parking spot outside of the place designated for one car to park.
Uh-huh.
And it was a black Dodge minivan. And I told my sister, is that what they came? She's like, yeah. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Joe is not going to believe this.
That's what I said. Really? I said, Joe told me a story about his dad. And I was like, he's not going to fucking believe this because we joked about it. And so I guess it's a thing.
It must be a whole thing. And if there is a thing to pick up, I mean, I guess it's a pretty good thing. I guess he's not a pickup truck or something. Like, like a little, like the workbench thing that pulled, and you get a little step comes out to lift your dad into the truck bed.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit. He's too tall. Had to put a little red flag on his toe.
My dad was 6'4".
Well, thank God he hit a minivan because his toes have been hanging out the back of a truck.
All right.
No, it's just, I know. Let's get out of here.
I'm pulling myself out because I'm still sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Well, I'll take over. Like, of course, my dad passed away earlier in July or end of June, sorry, I should say. And on top of all of that, there has been some huge shit, all my fault, that went down in my personal life. Some things have been said about me, and I am not going to address that right now. And the main reason for that is it doesn't really matter what I have to say about it. It's over. It's done with. I cannot change it. What I can change is my future for my kids, to make things as great as we possibly can between Aaron and I. And you can kind of get where I'm going with this if you haven't heard. But yeah, my wife and I are separated and we're doing everything we can to make it the best situation possible for the kids. Cause we both love them. It's going to be 50-50. None of that stuff. No big fight about it. But as far as going into detail and really dragging this thing out, I'm not going to do it out of respect for, like I said, my family, my friends, the ones that are directly impacted. I have already profusely apologized to and made it very clear. So now I am working on me to better myself and understand why I could, how I could have possibly did what I did. Cause I never thought that that was in me and it was. So I have to work on that and I plan on doing that, but I cannot let a terrible stretch completely detour or determine or define is what I should say who I am, because I know I'm not that. There is that in me and I have to figure out how to do that moving forward. So again, this
hopefully
nothing,
you got it out of your system.
I fucking hope so. I got something like a life-changing fucking disaster, but yeah, so the house, which is where the studio is, I mean, that's going to Aaron and the kids. Morally, there's not a fucking chance in hell I could just take the childhood home away from my kids. Like I said, she did nothing wrong, so that would, I just can't do it. I don't care. I don't care what it's worth. There's no fucking way. I would not be able to live with myself.
Aaron is a saint.
She is. I mean, there's a reason why we were together for 16 years. She's absolutely amazing. She's going to keep or allow us to continue to record the show in here because the studio is built here. But yeah, so she is absolutely amazing and she always will be. And I'm going to do everything I can to make it up to her the most that I can in the position that I will be in. But people were asking if we're going to try to work it out. And the answer is fucking no. Like right out the gate, we knew that was not going to happen. And I wasn't going to try to fight for it because that felt even worse. Like, be like, oh, come on, man. It's like, no. Like, I didn't want to be in that. I didn't want to put her in that. I didn't want to be in that. So it's just over and we're going to move on and move forward. And the ones that are here listening to it right now, I appreciate you, I guess, giving me the chance or at least understanding that, yeah, good people could do some really bad shit.
All it takes is a little bit of perspective. You realize what happened and going forward, you can only be better.
Yeah. I have no choice but to work on the future. I cannot change what happened now.
Yeah, people involved don't want to dwell on it either.
Yeah.
Aaron's
I'm not gonna drag my family continue to drag my family through this. It's just not it. I have, like I said, I'm working through it with everyone that is directly impacted by my actions. And that is the most important thing to me right now. So yeah, we're keeping the show going. And with that said, we do have to note, we're going to miss the shit out of Logan. But producer Logan Keith, he still is employed by my past employer. So between working with us and the show is just getting going or working at a job that supports his entire family. And I would have been pissed if he chose to be here.
Well, I was going to fire him anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true.
So,
Can you imagine? Like, so we do this whole thing and like Logan's listening. Cause I bet you he is. He fucking loved being here.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, yeah, but then Logan, like he just wasn't doing fucking things he was supposed to be doing. We just got rid of him. Mm-hmm. He's like, what the fuck? Like, what are you guys doing?
He was just stoned out there. Just sitting around.
Just sitting around, fucking off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time we get done recording, he would delete it. It was just too much. No, Logan, we're going to miss you so much, man. And who knows? There's a lot of future in front of this show. So maybe there's a chance of something coming back down the line.
Well, what's going to happen is he's going to have to compete with Ezra for the producing job.
Ezra is already trying to run.
He is.
And I would love to have him do it. Daddy just has such a potty mouth. I can't.
That's the thing that's,
because he would be able, he probably would be able to run it to a degree within, I bet you, a couple weeks, be able to do it. But I don't know. I can't let him hear Daddy say these things.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I walked up and he just told me all about
the brand new sprinkler system.
So like he dives into something.
Uh-huh.
If he wanted to, he could figure out that audio board, it would be, he would know it thing inside and out, and he'd be killing the show. But yeah, we can't be saying what we're saying around him.
And then before we get on to, I guess, the rest of the show here, but also, I want to tell you a story about Ezra. But before we do that, speaking of getting a producer, I know, but a big part of it is just being able to afford to have a producer. What we had with Logan was something that carried over, and it was a deal, you know, paid off how we grew together. However, that's not going to happen anymore. But a huge step into getting a producer that doesn't mind naughty words and talking about dicks, butts, and pussies and stuff like that, is to head over to the Patreon and subscribe. That's it. I mean, that's the only way we're going to be getting a producer. Till then, as you see on YouTube, it's going to look a little bit differently. We don't have anybody to switch the cameras. We don't have anybody to roll the segments. So those are going to be edited in post.
You fucked a lot of shit up.
I'm aware. God damn it, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Leave me alone.
I was so excited. We were rolling.
We were rolling.
And Joe had to just fuck everything up.
Oh, yeah. I know. But anyway, so that'd be great. So here's the story I wanted to share about Ezra really quick, and then we'll get off to the shut up, start the show. I'm anticipating that this show will probably be a little longer. I don't know right now, so I hope that that's okay with everybody, all the kids out there. But this story about Ezra absolutely floored me. This was this past weekend from the time that we're recording this episode, and Ezra likes to go thrift shopping. Go around the thrift stores, like just find stuff, obviously hangs out like in the electronics and outside with like the gym equipment, like the things that have moving parts, right? So we're walking through a thrift store, a local one here in Coeur d'Alene, and there's a box of just black tubes. And this thing is like 30 or 40 feet away. No idea what this box is, right? And we're walking in like a parent slapping their hand across the passenger seat when they slam on the brakes to protect their kid. He does that to me. He like whaps right, like almost punched me in the wiener. And he goes, "No freaking way." And I'm like, "What?" Like, I didn't know what he was going to do. And he goes, "You see that box over there?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Those are Rainbird 4200s. I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, those are sprinklers, pop-up sprinklers." I'm like, "Oh my God." He just runs over there and it's a whole box of pop-up sprinklers.
He knew exactly what the name was and everything. Yeah.
I forget the model.
The model number.
It was like, there's a Rainbird, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And he just called it out because you could tell by the shape and how thick it was and how long it was, the model of it, from 40 feet away. So he picked it up and he goes, "Can I get these?" He's like, "Yeah, of course you can get these." crazy man. So we went up there. I don't know how much I thought it was going to be, but the guy saw Ezra's excitement and just gave it to us for like $3.
Nice.
Just the whole box. Score. So anyway, what he was showing you was that he has set up an entire sprinkler system on the front lawn with all the hoses connected.
They're all
the different
connected.
Sprinklers.
I know. Everything. Everything's all.
And if he could hook up the timer, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was showing us the timer before we came down here, and he's like, "This one you can hook up to this," and it looked like some Vietnam radio that a colonel or someone in the field. I don't
Which,
know. Which
then that also was a thrift store find.
Of course.
Yeah. Aaron was telling me they found that the weekend before he went back and found all the Rainbirds. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for what we wanted to cover. We're going to keep this train rolling. Thank you for sticking with us. And we're pumped to get this train back on the tracks.
Yeah, and I'm gonna try to make some jokes today. It's still coming out of it, but you might have to. You might have to make me laugh a little bit.
I'll try.
I'm just not in that silly goose mode right now.
All your laughs are like.
Yeah, it's kind of way. That's why I feel inside right now. I'm just kind of like.
I have a banger joke. It's the funniest thing I've ever said. You're like.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You should have waited a week.
You should have waited. You got to give some distance. What is it? Time something equals comedy. I don't know. Time tragedy. Tragedy plus time equals comedy?
I don't know.
Oh, all right.
I did horrible at math.
And then last thing before we get off to the starting question here, if you guys want to send something in, you can send that into heyguys@canyoudontpodcast.com. And of course, we have the merch available right now at canyoudontpodcast.com. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm just going to yell at myself then. Oh. Joe, edit the segment in.
Hey, shut up. Start the show already.
Okay, sorry, and this was important, and it is super sad, but it is something that I wanted to bring up because I had never found myself in this dark of a spot, and something is telling me that I need to talk about it, so that at least someone out there, if you are feeling anything like this, please go find help. So this goes back to when everything that I just covered in the intro came out and was unraveling, and it was broadcasted, and everybody knew. And big thanks to the literal thousands and thousands of people that have written in with messages of support. That's great. Of course, it's the people that are like, fucking go jump off a building, you piece of shit. And those I say, probably, anyway, bye. But thank you so much for you guys sending those in. And I've tried to reply to every single one, so hopefully I didn't miss you guys. But when it was all coming out, dude, it was so scary. And I don't think I was going to do it, but this feels important to talk about. It was so dark, and I was just sitting on the edge of my bed, and I had my handgun like in my hand, and I don't really remember getting it. I wasn't like blacked out. I wasn't drinking, but it's just like this weird emotional part. And I was like, oh, and I remember just sitting there in my train of thought. I was like, who would care? Like that kind of thought. And I just sat there, and it wasn't very long. It was maybe like 5 to 10 seconds. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I put my gun back in the lockbox. I actually took a picture of my kids and taped it to the front. And then I left my room and I slept on the couch and I just watched TV until I passed out. The next morning, I woke up and packed up my guns and brought them over here to Aaron's house. So they were not in my possession anymore. But that scared me so bad. It scared me so bad. And luckily, Aaron was very open about it. I told her like after it happened, and she was super concerned about it because, you know, she's awesome. But if you are ever in that dark of a spot, I didn't use it, but I did look it up after this happened to make sure I knew at least what the number was in case things got that dark. But the suicide hotline number is 988. That's all you have to type in.
That's simple.
988. But I know that it's sad, and I know it's not very funny at all to talk about that, but the bad shit happens, and I never thought that would ever cross my mind, and it did. So that's terrifying.
You know, I mean,
scared me. It scared me really bad.
It's, you know, you gain perspective in everything in life, and you talk about, I've been dealing with like anxiety for a long time and never understood what it was. And then I had, I've talked to you about it, talked to a few people about it, and they're like, oh, do you feel this way? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, oh, okay, it's not so isolating and alone. There's actually a lot of people that deal with stuff. And so once you can kind of get perspective on things, my uncle, who I was really close with, it took his life with a gun. And it's like, he was the happiest guy I knew.
Yeah.
And so you can get into a place where you're not even in the right mind, and if you can't get yourself out of it, I get how you can go there.
A lot of my personality, a lot of my happiness, I feel like a lot of my purpose in life is entertaining and making people laugh.
Yeah.
Or making in any way I want to make their life better. And so when that was completely taken away from me, that was it. I guess felt like I lost my identity. Like it was just fucking, who am I now? Like this is all gone. I mean, thank God I waited it out, because it's going to get better. I'm going to make it okay, and I know that I'm going to continue to do what makes me happy, and that's making other people happy regardless.
And one good thing, the listeners, it's been majority positivity and like and support. Of course, there's the people that are they're going to leave, and for whatever reasons they have, morally or whatever, that that's on them. Yeah. That's fine.
Sure.
But yeah, it has been supportive. Yeah. And I had tons of support. I've got hundreds of messages in my socials too that I haven't responded to just because I've been isolated from phone and social.
Yeah.
And I will hopefully get to everyone. So thanks for those kind words too. So
yeah,
I guess that's just the kids and the silly geese of been very supportive.
I can't credit it, but that was the very first thing I did after I decided to put it back in the lockbox, was get on my phone and look more messages.
Yeah.
Because I had to see. And when it first happened, there was tons of support. And I think once all the information started really settling in, then it was more and more and more and more support. So thank you guys very much. I'm not sure if that stopped me. I don't know what it was, but it scared me to even go there. You
probably thought of me, and you're like, oh,
I can't do this to Brian.
You can't fuck this up.
Then Brian too?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You just saw my face.
What if that was it?
Could have been.
You never know. All right, so let's move on. Let's try to do some funny here.
Okay.
This was sent in by our son, Aaron. Are you ready?
Yes.
Would you rather be forced to live on a ninja warrior course until you complete every stage, or be forced to live on a golf course until you get a hole in one on every par 3? And if you're not a golfer, That, fuck that.
That's really hard.
That's really, really hard to get a hole in one. I've gotten like even within maybe a foot, like twice in my entire life. Maybe a foot. And there's a lot that can happen in that foot. That foot does not mean the ball missed by a foot. It could have rolled sideways, backwards, left, right. Like, it's not, I was not that close. There's still a lot of shit that could happen to get a hole in one on a par three.
I don't think people realize how hard golf is
until you play it.
Until you, dude. I mean, it's the most frustrating sport ever, because you think you're just going to go out there and hit a few balls around.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3-4 strokes, you are losing your mind.
You're hammered, drunk in a golf cart.
You're breaking stuff. You're throwing things, screaming at the ball.
Yeah.
Like, what other sport can do that to you?
Bowling. No, I'm kidding. Mm. I don't know. If you get that mad at bowling, I don't even know what you're doing.
Bowling's one of those things where you just show up and you're just having fun. Golf's not fun unless you're good.
But there's some people that's the way they are with everything.
Well, there's no bumpers on a golf course, though.
There should be.
There's,
because they have a handicap. They have giant inflatable walls.
Imagine if out of bounds, there was just like,
boing.
There was trampolines all the way down the side and it just bounced off.
I like the idea, just like in a bowling alley where some people have the bumpers and some people don't.
Yeah.
And they, and they go down in the gutter.
Mm.
What if on a golf course, me and you, we're really good. We do not need the bumpers. However, we're going with our friend, I don't know, Chad.
Okay.
And he's terrible, and he needs the inflatable walls on a golf course. And you're like, okay, blow them up, and just, which just takes 3 hours.
There's a team of people off to the side.
Huge industrial blowers. Just, and like people on every other tee box, like, God damn it. Like, it's so loud. And sorry, Chad. Chad needs them.
And then it's like anything else, you have to deflate it. So everyone's laying on it.
Right.
You know, that whole rolling thing, everyone's on rolling on it. You're like, here, get on the other side.
Come on. Get on. A little help, please. So there's that. And getting a hole in one is really, really hard. But being forced to live on a ninja warrior course, and maybe I'm just, I mean, I know I'm being optimistic here, but I see some of those. I can make it past, I think, some of the obstacles on that Ninja Warrior course.
I think
maybe all of them eventually, if I get to try them indefinitely, you are going to be in impeccable shape. You are going to be a fucking sexy ass homeowner.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
You get in shape.
Yeah.
That would still be less frustrating than golfing. Because like,
it depends on how bad you have to be. I'm picturing like just an everyday home.
Okay.
Like, I know that, like, being forced to live on the Ninja Warrior course. So I'm taking this and I'm putting it in like a house situation. But if every house was designed and had Ninja Warrior course to get from the living room to like the bathroom to the bedroom, how insane would that be? Like, oh man, I gotta take a shower. You gotta start chalking up your hands.
Isn't there water in the bottom too?
Yeah.
So you could just pee in the water, but then you'd eventually just be urine water.
Yeah, I never thought about
more
that.
More motivation to not fall in.
Just start pooping and peeing in the water.
Yeah.
The punishment is way
so
worse.
So it's just waste. Now it's wastewater.
What they call it, the salmon ladder? That one's always fun to watch. Do you ever watch Ninja Warrior?
No. I mean, I have. I'm more of a floor's lava guy.
Okay.
But.
Right. And then thinking about if you're trying to leave the house on time. God damn it, Pepper! If you don't beat the warped wall in 2 minutes, we're going to be late for school.
He's for school.
I'm trying.
Just sweating.
Just running up with her backpack on. Dad, I'm trying! Push the buzzer!
Well, I guess maybe you could run up there, and would you be able to help her up?
I'm sure.
Because you can't help someone get a
Ninja Warrior
hole in one.
No.
But you could help someone get through the course, like if your family.
I can just throw Ezra through, like, she doesn't have to do the swingy ring toss thing. You just throw him as hard as you can.
Yeah, it doesn't say how you got to pass it, right?
It says you have to complete it. So you can't fall in the water. You have to be able to do each one. There's no way you can throw your kid across those things. Get out of here.
Well, you would get so strong, though.
Throwing your kid in the water.
And you would probably just work out.
There's no way. I don't know. You'd have to be a superhuman robot
to be able
to throw a child through an obstacle course.
Was that? Oh, you okay. Until you complete every stage. In my head, I was thinking that's just how you live forever.
Okay, no. So as soon as you complete it, and I think for sure, my physical ability, I have a way better chance of getting done with a warrior course faster than I would getting a hole in one on every par three, which is typically there's like three par threes.
Depending on the course.
And do you get the whole course to yourself, or do you have to just go out at nighttime when no one else is out there?
You're waiting.
You have a headlamp. Yeah. Like, God damn it. You'd be like known as the crazy dude that camps by hole three. Are we have like a tent.
Are we playing Augusta National or are we going to like a nine hole shitty course?
I think it has to be a full 18. A full 18. Let's just go a typical public municipal.
So you can't court. Just play the same hole over and over
again. You can. Yeah. I think you just play the par threes over and over and over again. Still, that's even more maddening.
That'd
be so
thing.
Bad.
I think I feel like there's the psychological effect of golf almost outweighs the physical part of the, because I think like you trying to scale a wall and you can't get it, that's still psychologically, but like golf is such a frustrating sport.
It's just and you have a weapon, nice, delicate swing. Yeah, no, you're not going to have any clubs left.
So you're just going to be breaking clubs, and now you're, well, par three, you might be able to throw the ball.
You can't throw the ball. That's not golf. You can't just throw the ball. That's weird. It'd be like, okay, you're not leaving the football field till you kick a field goal and you just throw it through the goalpost. You're like, done.
That's true.
Not how you play.
True. Well, are we playing on the, which colors are we playing on?
I don't know.
The women's,
just
the
whites.
Pros.
It's just whites. Just, standard okay. whites. There's still no way. Oh my God. I don't know. Because I've gotten hole-in-ones on like driving ranges and stuff.
I thought you were going to say in a video game.
Well, I don't know, man. I've got a hole-in-one in a video game.
On that golden tee.
Right. I don't think I've ever gotten a hole-in-one on golden tee. Fuck that game. Game's so hard. And they've never updated the graphics since 1940. I don't know what they're doing. The graphics can be so sick on a golden tee and they never are.
Yeah.
They've never updated it. Why would they?
Why? Yeah, why it's the same machine. Why would you do anything different? Because someone would bitch about it. Oh, it's not as good as the old one, and then they'd
lose all their business. And then a Ninja Warrior course in a nursing home. That's I don't know why I thought that was. It's just be like between every obstacle, just be a soggy human mess, just laying down and can't do it.
Wheelchair version,
right? Right. I don't know how that would. That'd be how do you do that one? And then will the announcers be there the whole time?
Oh, and you can hear him.
Right.
Oh, ooh, he's so
Brian. Yeah. Brian looks like he's leaving for work. I'm like, fuck.
God, if only he had better upper body strength.
He said he's been working on that in the off season. I'm not buying it.
That's the thing, dude. My upper body, I'm like any sort of like a pull up, anything that would be like when you see him like they're on a bar and they pull and they have to.
The salmon ladder. Yeah, that's the. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Jumpy, pulley, climby thing.
I don't think I would. That's something I don't think I would ever be able to do.
And only using your fingertips, like a rock climber kind of thing?
No.
I don't know. But it does not say it's in a house. It says that you just have to complete every single one. So you just train. I would just train for a year straight and then go and complete my course and then go back to my life. And I think I could do that before I hit a hole-in-one on every par three on a course.
What if you just played the same hole over and over and just dialed it in?
That's the
problem. Because you don't have to do it in one day, right?
You just hit the ball in the hole.
You know what I mean?
Just eventually. You have to live there until you do it.
Like, you could be there. You play the same par three holes over for a year.
Man.
You might do it.
Maybe. That's the toss-up.
I know for sure. You get to drink beer and stuff. Is there, like, a girl in a cart coming around drinking beer?
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Hey. Yeah. It's just another day.
Whew. Scorcher today, huh? Yeah.
How about you don't try the beer today?
I tried that yesterday. I tried that last night. Like, you're just up all night. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with the course because I think I could do it eventually. I don't know for sure. I could hit it. You could hit the ball so close so many times. Think about the best golfers in the world.
Yeah.
There are almost every single tournament goes by. An entire tournament, round after round after round, with no hole-in-ones.
The best golfers
in the
world.
And those are the best in the world.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. Like, they know, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they never get it.
That's true.
Never. I mean, each one probably has, what, one, two on the tour ever? Like, no one's just out there hitting nothing but fucking hole-in-ones.
Or they do it every time.
Right, exactly. They would never be across the green. They'd be right on it.
I'm saying I'm fucked either way. Really.
Fuck it. I'll just do the Warrior course with the golf club.
Maybe I'll just do the Warrior Coast course to get in shape. So at least I'll look good.
Yeah. I think you're getting where I'm going with this.
I'm going with that.
Okay. Let's do the Warrior course. Fine.
That's going to be a mess. Fuck it.
It's going to be so bad.
Especially with all the piss and shit floating around.
God, that'd be such an added insult. You think you're just like doing a little skippy run and you just fall into a turd bath? Oh, my God.
At least it's your own turds.
Yeah.
Is that worse?
Thank God. Oh, you don't make this goal.
Here's a question for you. This is going to be a weird question.
Oh, this isn't for me. Okay.
So if you, like, let's say you had to eat shit. Would you rather eat your own shit or someone else's shit?
Okay.
Because it's like, Is it okay because it's your own? Or are you like, I know what I ate?
I don't think it's ever okay.
How about if you have a really bad diet and you know the stuff you're eating is horrible?
So as I do, yeah.
And then, or it's like a vegan, someone with a really healthy, like a really attractive, healthy woman.
Okay.
And it's her shit or your like corn grease riddled shit.
I think this just opened up another box and then we're going to get the hell out of here. Is, would you rather eat shit from either like your opposite sex? Is that more appealing than same sex? Like, would you rather eat
an attractive woman? Probably.
And women out there, an attractive man? They're like, no, I don't know, dude.
Even it's Brad Pitt.
Oh,
Brad,
no, dude.
Which, okay. What about the most attractive man or the world? Like, Brad Pitt shit or Roseanne Barr's shit. It's still.
Man, why is attractiveness playing into, like, because it is.
It does.
It's playing in right now. Why does that matter? It shouldn't matter. And why do I want to eat Brad Pitt's shit?
Yeah.
Like, why do I
like
want
if you
that?
Were going to eat, if you were a cannibal, I think you'd rather eat the more attractive person, right?
I don't know.
You don't want a sweaty arm.
I don't know. What's their body like?
Well, it's Brad Pitt and Roseanne.
Oh, same thing. I might go Roseanne. There's more to eat. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's assuming you're really hungry. You just have to eat them.
I see the snack. Okay. Yeah. I guess Brad Pitt again.
You're filleting off a piece.
This is just like a weird new fantasy has been born. Like, how many things do I like about Brad Pitt?
I
like his face
really
and his
hair
and his the way his forearm tastes.
I just picture like he's got that really like his forearm and his tricep.
Yeah.
I just imagine like cutting a piece off and just cooking it on like a rotisserie. It's just going to be good.
Just searing it up.
Instead of just fat, greasy fat.
Oh, I'm trying to think back how we got here. How'd we get here? Oh, pooping in the warrior pool.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was it. I feel like I'm back now. This is where my brain goes.
Here we go, baby. All right, we're going to move on. Speaking of brains, and I've got a story for What Are You Thinking About?
All right.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, babe?
What are you thinking about?
You know, nothing. Actually, you know what? I'm thinking about a lot of shit.
What are you thinking about?
All right, so here's what I'm thinking about, and I guess why I'm thinking about it is because I just announced that, my wife and I are separating.
So I have a chance now.
Fuck, dude. Can you imagine?
Well,
I couldn't even be mad.
What's funny is that's us in the the thing.
That's
so
true. We should probably talk to her about that. See if she's fine with still being in that. It's weird.
Or if I have a shot.
Yeah, that too.
I should talk to my wife about that first.
Yeah, you should do that. Don't make the same mistakes. So
wouldn't that be weird? Really cool?
I don't want to do it.
That whole, imagine that.
Well, I mean,
pretzel of a mess.
Why not? What? Fuck. Throw it on top. Nothing else can happen, right? So, talking about us splitting, of course, you know, I've obviously been thinking about this and sentimental about the marriage coming to a close. But it did remind me of a story I might as well share right now about our own wedding that happened here in Coeur d'Alene. And I've never shared this story. I've never seen anything like this. And this shit just happened so fast. So let me set the scene. We had a pretty small wedding here in Coeur d'Alene. I think there was like, maybe 125. Sorry, I don't know what the fuck's in my mouth.
Pubes?
It's a bug. It's just pubes. Between segments, I'm just nobbling on myself.
Nobbling?
Is that a word? Monopoly? So we had a wedding, and we got married, and it was great, and it was fun, beautiful. My dad played all the music.
And it was all meaningless.
It was all meaningless as Aaron walked down the aisle. Like, it was perfect. It was great. And then the party time came. And what we opted to do is we had a DJ, but then we also had microphones so that for all the songs, then everybody could also sing along in the crowd.
God.
Okay. Oh, my God. Shut up. We've got family musicians. The whole Paisley clan is musicians. Get out of here. It was fun. And so as the song is playing, you can also sing along and do fun stuff. So all this is going. Everyone is having some drinks and really having a good time. And then I kind of, you know, zoned out a little bit and I'm looking across the crowd on the dance floor and I see these two tall motherfuckers. Like, they stood out like a couple of pine trees in a meadow. Like, they were like probably like 6'4". Like, so they're big, tall dudes.
Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
Yeah, and I'm looking at them. I'm like, who the fuck are that? Like, who are these dudes? And they're like having a lot of fun. I don't know how long they've been there. They obviously love the vibe. The dance floor was right out by the sidewalk, so anybody walking by, like, you could see how much fun it was. So these dudes decided to pull, yeah, the Wedding Crasher thing. And they came flying in, super happy, like, dancing around. And then, out of nowhere, I see my brother, like, looks at him, and he goes over, and he go, and I hear his words, or I read his lips over the music, and he goes, "Who the fuck are you?" Right? And then, and they both, like, they're laughing, and they're like, "Oh, yeah," I think they're just kind of joking around. And my brother grabs him by the shirt and then just punches him in the face.
Jesus.
Right? And I'm like, "Whoa, like, what the fuck just happened?" It turns out they were not saying nice things back. They're saying, "Do whatever the fuck we want to." But they're saying it with a big smile on their face. So I thought they were being nice. They're not being nice. And my brother did not like that. So he punches him, and then the other guy starts punching back. Oh, right? God. It turns into this big fight on the dance floor. And here is my favorite part. Because I didn't get in. I didn't throw any punches. I ended up, like, pulling people away, but I did not get in any sort of fight. So I'm just kind of sitting back and watching this all go down. And then my half-brother is up on the little deck balcony area. He climbs up.
No. No.
He climbs up on the railing. Okay? Like a fucking WWE superstar.
I'm picturing it.
He goes to jump. And he's in his dress shoes, so they slip off the railing. His shins go into the railing, and he front flips onto a table that my grandma's sitting at. It just smashes. What? Smashes her instead of, like, hitting the people that he tried to jump on. So now he's grabbing his side in pain because he just loses.
Grandma's like, "What the fuck is going on?" Right?
The music, like fucking thing. And then this one guy, was fighting him, and then he was got sick of being punched, so he ran and he tried to jump the fence. The fence was one of those spiky fences, so it had, like, little point on the top. He jumped over and he caught his shorts and underwear on it. So he goes off, he rips them off. So now he's running down the street with his dick out, running from the Paisley family, and he's sprinting away and he's getting chased. I forget by who, I think by one of my father-in-laws, being like, "You son of a bitch." And then the other guy that he came with, who wasn't a part of the fight, he's just standing there looking. I look at him and he's going, "No, no, 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 no." And then he takes off and chases his naked friend. And that was the story of the Wedding Crashers at my own wedding. But dude, I'm not sure what was funnier, because we didn't know what happened. All I remember is you saw him and you just saw his butt running away.
His white butt.
You saw his butt running away. And I don't, and I can't recall. I want to make sure that I get the facts as close to accurate as possible. I do not remember if his underwear was all the way off or if it was just ripped enough that his butt was, like, hanging out the back as he was running away. So we didn't know this happened to this guy because it's dark out. And then the next morning, the sun comes up, as it tends to do, and we had to pick up the wedding. And I'm going along the fence line, like, taking things, decorations off the fence, and, like, there's his shorts and underwear.
Oh, my God.
Like, just hanging on the spike on the
fence. Did you keep them?
Yeah, I smell them.
Nice.
Yep.
You've never washed them?
No. I'm wearing them right now.
I was really hoping you were going to say that
duct taped up,
climbed over the fence and caught his pants, and then he was, like, dangling.
He just kicked the shit out of him?
Yeah, he's hanging over the fence. You're, like, he's just throwing haymakers at him.
He's a pinata at this point. That's jail time. Like, he's gone through enough.
Like, he's hanging down, his ass is showing, and everyone's just gut-punching him.
Spanking his butt. Yeah. Like, laughing. He's like, playing little drums. Playing, like, I don't know, Mambo number 5. Everyone's
Mambo number 5. Bam, bam, bam,
bam, bam, and everyone's singing into his face as he's trapped there.
They have all got their microphones and they're singing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's like, "God, leave me alone." And he goes, bah, 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 playing his butt cheeks. Little bongo drums.
Because the musician came out and everyone.
Yes, you get it.
Yep.
Taking his shoes off and clapping them together.
Yeah.
Hitting them in the cheeks. Stacy, the trumpet. Like, what's that one part? He's just yelling out fucking different instruments. Yeah. Trumpet. I would play that song, but it'll be banned on YouTube.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Apparently, we can't do that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on Digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, want me to show you my dick?
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's funny. I got nothing else.
Okay, well, let's just do it. Let's do some
Let
dick.
Let me see your dick.
Okay.
Is it dumb? Is it interesting? Is it cool? Then it's dick.
Then it's dick.
Dick! Okay, so I'm going to take the first story for dick this week. And as I've had a lot more free time recently, I've been doing a lot of hiking. I just kind of get back out there, not sit in my apartment and mope.
That's what everyone does when they...
It's the best thing to do!
When every time you see someone...
Huge life change.
Yeah, it's like, and they're like selfies out there, like up on top of a mountain.
Breath of fresh air, yeah. Like some cool quote.
And then go home and eat like a bag of chips. And
that's exactly what I did. I would take that picture on top of a mountain and I have pizza in my backpack to get me back down. I'm not kidding. Literally what I did yesterday.
I believe it.
So doing a lot of hiking, and then I came across this story of some folks that were not prepared at all for hiking. And I'm going to read it to you here. So it says, hikers left the Texas heat to camp on a cold, rainy Colorado trail. So the duo hiked up Lake Como Road in Colorado's Sangre de Cristo Range on Monday, June 27th at the Alamosa Volunteer Search and Rescue Team said. They never made it to Lake Como and set up camp about a quarter mile from the lake, which I'm going to go ahead right there. And I know it was raining. They're going to say that. But when I saw it, they were like, oh, man, it's a whole quarter mile away. That is one lap around a track.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's one. You can make it. You can do it. Unless it's like.
Children do that.
On accident.
Yeah.
I hiked 2 miles in the wrong direction.
You wander off and you can do that.
Yeah. You can be looking for a lost contact lens
right.
And end up going a quarter mile.
Yep.
So anyway. So Lake Como is an 8.3 mile out and then back near Blanca, about 210 miles south of Denver. Anyway. This is it. So they started getting hypothermia. It was sad. Some hikers, they ended up calling for help. But here's what happened. So they took off and they were not prepared. They didn't pack any extra clothing to stay dry. Their tent had no rain fly. The hikers also didn't have any extra food or water, and they didn't have layers to survive the night temperatures. So they said, these hikers said they did not understand why it was so cold and rainy in Colorado because it's been so hot in Texas.
Oh, my God.
And they never checked any weather forecasts.
What? Different climate?
And the rescuers, all they said, like the main thing they said, is ignorance can kill people. It's like, that is true. Thank God they were able to call for help. But who the fuck takes us into a new, like not your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a hiking trip that went wrong. It was just a hiking trip that you fucked up.
Yeah.
And you stranded yourself. You're like, I got a tent. Yeah, I got a tent. It's like one of those kid throw out pop-up Barbie tents. They're like, yeah, I don't know. It's a tent, right? They did say it was hard because of heavy rainfall. There's a like rockfall, extremely slippery path that you're trying to get up there. So I get all of that. But what this did make me think of, and I don't know why I thought this was so funny to me, but let's just imagine this, okay? Mount Everest. It's a Mount Everest documentary. And they're interviewing everyone, you know, great. The cinematography is fucking...
Wait, is this real?
No.
Or are you making this
I'm making this okay. up. It just reminded me, I was like, what? Like, who would do this? How could you be so ill-prepared for this hiking trip? So then I started picturing this fake Mount Everest documentary. And the cinematography, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The custom music bed. I mean, it's just, they're putting it all out there. They're interviewing people. And they're all wearing those, like, sleeping bag jackets. You know what I'm talking about? Like they're super puffy,
yeah.
Where you can barely see their face, like out the little tie hole. They got frost on their beard and everything. And they got all the gear, they got the clips and all that kind of shit, because they're heading up the tallest mountain on the planet. And then it cuts to this camera, and there's this dude named Devin. And he's wearing a tank top and flip-flops. And he has a cooler of White Claws.
What's up, bros? You ready to skin that? Dude,
I don't know. I'm just gonna give it a shot. Yeah. I mean, my buddy said it's pretty tall, and I was looking for tall stuff. I'm just going through a divorce. I'm trying to get back out there, and
to snap a couple pics, you
know, reconnect with nature, and all that kind of stuff. And he's just fucking sitting there, and they, you know, cut around to other people. Like, I don't think he's gonna make it.
Yeah.
And then here's where my brain took it a little bit farther. So you know how when people die on Everest, they have to just leave the bodies up there because they're not, it's a long hike and you can't just, I guess you could sled them down if the conditions were right, but they don't. They just leave them up there to die. But then 50 yards in is Devin.
50 yards. His cooler of White Claws.
And he's frozen to death and he's sitting there with his White Claws. Maybe he got frozen like in the fist bump pose.
Yeah.
So like now it's tradition. Everyone who walks by just gives a fist bump to D-Bone.
It's like an icy statue right. of him.
And he's like a weird smile.
It's the Han Solo face.
Right. He's just fist out. He's got like his other hand has a White Claw in it. He's just sitting on his cooler.
Everyone walks by, gives a little fist bump as you go by.
How? You're like, hey, what's up, D-Bone? Like, just on a weird shit.
Well, that's what's funny is, like, I mean, people, you hear that all the time, like, or going in a river or whitewater rat, whatever it is, like, they don't take it nature serious. Yeah. And they're just like, we'll pop in real quick and then drown.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do their research. They just thought it'd be a fun little float. Or something, you know, and now they're dead.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely, I don't know, a little leeway when it comes to your experience with the thing that you're going to do.
Sure.
And I bring that up, I hadn't thought about this until, you know, you just brought that up, but last weekend, my mom and stepdad were in town, and they rented some electric bikes, which, by the way, are fucking sick.
Yeah.
Have you ridden one?
Oh, yeah.
Where have I been? I rode one, but this one was like, it was a tandem bike. So me and Ezra were sharing the same bike. This thing went like fucking 35 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even have to pedal it if you didn't want to. It was basically a motorcycle. And so we're going out there to do that. And I show up and I'm wearing flip-flops. My mom's like, what are you doing? They said wear proper footwear. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. I'm riding a bike, mom. I'm not like kicking alligators. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just, my feet are on top of the pedals. This is proper footwear. She goes, if they turn you down, because I'm like, they're not going to turn me down. It's like it's a cruiser bike. I'm not mountain biking. And then she's like, okay, well, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm like, God damn it. Mom, always. We get there. They're both wearing flip-flops. They rode
the guy.
They rode their bikes up with flip-flops on. I'm like, fuck you, mom. But no, then I rode the bike. It was like 29 miles in flip-flops. So I get, because that would not be properly prepared for my outing. If something went wrong, I'm stuck in fucking flip-flops. But I gambled it. I was like, I'm not wearing shoes. It's 98 degrees today. I'm not going to wear proper attire. But I wasn't hiking. There wasn't death involved.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to die if something terrible happened or if I whacked my toe with a pedal. Ooh, ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Ouchie.
Skinned your foot.
Oh, no. Oh, well, boy.
I mean, because that's the thing. Like, when you go out into nature, there's so many factors. If there's a flash, flood, rain, so many things. Like now I'm fighting for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no idea what you're doing, you're fucked.
Yeah, you're done.
And so I guess this is the moral of the story is don't fuck with Mother Nature.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. You end up like
D-bug. Unless you know what you're doing. And the people that know what they're doing, when they die, it's like, well, you know, I knew the risk.
Yeah.
The people that do that, they don't know the risk. They don't think there is a risk.
When your reasoning it says, well, it's just so cold over here. It's been hot in Texas. What?
That is so, that's bizarre. I can't even, yeah.
Just point to the door, like, get the fuck out of here.
It's really muggy here in Texas. I thought it would be the same
over here in this other state that is 8,000 miles away from me. That's so weird. It's crazy. Okay, let's move on to show me your dick after I show you this. I miss that guy. Yeah, it's weird not pushing that, not hearing the for like 3 weeks. Fucked me up. Okay, what's your story? What's your dick look like? Stretch that thing out for me, baby.
All right. This is kind of a funny one because we have, I don't know, if do you have a Roomba?
Yes, I put googly eyes on it. Oogly eyes. Googly or oogly?
Googly eyes.
Googly eyes, not oogly?
Oogly sounds weird.
I might be oogly.
It sounds creepy.
Okay,
I guess if you put...
I'm going to put in googly eyes.
Googly, they have to be googly eyes.
Eyes versus oogly eyes. Doing the Lord's work over here. Okay.
What about Betty Davis eyes?
Googly eyes or what?
She's got Betty Davis.
The top question that Google suggested to me, it says, "Is you mean googly eyes or googly eyes?" They can spell them the exact same. No, it's not what I meant.
Well, you use a search engine that has the word Google in it. I guess so. It's going to be biased.
Yeah, they're googly eyes. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess. I mean, yeah, whatever. Anyway, back to you.
So this story is in Nebraska.
Okay.
And it's in Bellevue, Nebraska. When I first saw Bellevue, I thought, ooh, local story, but that's not.
And Bellevue, Idaho is where my dad lived.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of Bellevues.
Okay.
I didn't stop the music right there. I don't know why I just did that.
Yeah,
that
was creepy. Like, what's going on here? Because I feel like
is Ezra out there running stuff? Okay, go ahead.
All right. So the Bellevue Police Department is reporting an unusual call from its overnight shift.
Okay.
Officials said on Twitter that they were called to a burglary in progress. But when the officers arrived, situation wasn't quite as scary as it was made out to be.
Okay.
The family reported that they heard footsteps from someone upstairs moving around upstairs. So they're thinking, oh my God, someone's in my house.
Oh, yeah.
Officers instead found a Roomba vacuum scooting around, presumably doing its job.
What if you went up there in the Roomba like, had shoes on? He was walking. That would be scary.
Well, that'd be funny if you had the googly eyes on too. Because you walk in there and he would look back at you like, hey man, surprise job. Yeah.
Whoa, didn't see you there.
Yeah. I think I get it.
What a waste of time for everybody.
Dude, the police come out. Imagine
guns drawn.
Stupid you would feel. Yeah, they kick the door in.
SWAT team
freeze, and it's like and the eyes are all bouncing around.
Runs right into their feet.
Yeah.
Turns around,
goes the other way, bumps into the other cop, just going back and forth.
Or they completely misread the situation. Go in there, throw a fucking hand grenade at it. That doesn't do it. It just starts cleaning up the shrapnel.
Mm-hmm. It's cleaning up all the.
Then they start unloading on it with like an AR or something. It's still going. Cleaning up the shell casings. Like, God damn, this thing's ruthless.
At least it. I mean, that's something to be said for the quality of the
Roomba. Is that the company that makes Roomba?
Yeah, Roomba. It's like one of those things that's like Kleenex.
Oh,
everyone just calls them a Roomba, but a Roomba is the actual brand, I think.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
But it is funny. We've had ours for years, so they are a durable little bastard.
Mm-hmm.
But I have. So it reminded me of this time when we first got our Roomba, we were all in bed. And it was in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
And it just goes, we had it set up to our phone. Yeah, it goes, no, it wasn't even like a positive sound. Oh. It wasn't like, boo. It was like, boo.
Like battery died?
Roomba cannot connect to Bluetooth. And
I wanted to.
And so my wife freaked out because she thought maybe someone was outside and it was trying to connect to that person's Bluetooth. To their phone, and that that person walked out of range and it could. So that's where her brain went to, was like someone was creeping around and Roomba tried to connect to their Bluetooth. But then when you're sleeping,
I love
it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Roomba cannot connect to the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It's a voice. It's a human voice and it just wakes you up in the middle of the night. So while this story is hilarious because nothing happened, I can relate to that waking up to a like, oh my God, what the hell is that? And it was just Roomba doing Roomba things.
I have two things to add to the story. One is that our Roomba, no matter how much I worked with it on it and tried to set its schedule, every single Wednesday at 4 p.m, it would go off on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't fucking change it. It wouldn't change back. No matter what I did on that day, whenever it just kind of plugged itself back in, it was like, fuck it, I'm going off at 4 p.m.
Your room is on the spectrum. It's like, gotta go at 4. Gotta go at 4.
And then Ezra's like, it's going again! Like, he's just like screaming. Like, he gets scared the whole house.
You
like,
throw him into the lamp because it woke you up.
Get up here! Just throw him into the nightstand. and then I also love where, like, your brain as a human goes when you're like, in that scared state where your wife... I just love the idea of a villain or a robber. It's like, he's going around connecting to Roombas. That's his
he's
thing.
He's got his phone. He goes out. And he's available to everyone. He just starts everyone's Roombas.
He's like, sits by the window.
Got him.
He just runs away.
Goes to the next house.
He's like the Bluetooth Roomba, right. Or whatever.
That's his name. Yeah, that's his robber name is the Roomba.
Roomba Wrangler. I don't know. That's me.
What's funny about it is like, the only thing he's doing is getting your house cleaned. It's like one of those, it's inconvenient yeah. because it wakes you up, but it actually is cleaning your house
That's
too.
It's funny you say that, because one of our petty beefs this week actually has to do with something kind
Ooh,
of in that
okay.
vein.
Can't wait to dive into
an
that.
An unknown segue. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Silence in the court.
You are now entering the petty beef courtroom, where all sides of some bullshit will be heard and evaluated. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final-ish. This is Petty Beef.
All right, you ready to get in the first case?
Yep. Logan, we love you, by the way.
Yeah, we love you, Logan. We miss your voice.
We miss your voice, but here we go. Go
ahead. All right, get your briefcase out.
Snap, snap.
Because Julia is sick of her partner not holding up his end when it comes to planning a trip or event.
Mm.
He forgets even the most basic of details and wonders why it bothers her so much when things don't go as planned. Let's talk about it.
This is such a dude thing.
And it's, I do it.
I know.
I was reading it. I was like, I do this.
Right. Like, this is me. This is me. Okay. What did Julia, what's her OG message
okay,
say?
Okay. So Kid Julia says, my partner never thinks he has to hold up his end of the trip or event planning.
Okay.
This has now ended up with us losing our opportunity to go away for our anniversary weekend because Ooh. He never checked. Wait,
yeah.
He never checked that his dog's rabies certificates were up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had talked to him about needing a copy, my dog certificate to take with us over the border. I love that.
Dude.
His, my.
Yeah.
He never thought to check. And now the night before we were meant to leave, I learned that we can't go unless we have the dogs behind, leave the dogs behind. And neither of us really wants to do that.
Oh man, dude, that is so fucked. It's so perfect. This is such a husband thing. I don't know why. I don't think it's Julie. I'm sorry. That sucks. That the anniversary weekend got butched. But my God, I could see me doing this.
Yeah.
Like anyway, I'm gonna make sure 100% that my dog's certificates are all taken care of before we go on our sweet romantic anniversary trip. All right, babe. See you when you get back.
Yeah.
And just fuck it and just totally forget
the
to
night
do it.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst part too, because there's nothing you can do the night before.
No.
You're fucked. And then she's pissed.
Yeah.
And it's your fault.
Now here I will say, and I might get some hate for this. And this it's fine. I love animals. I love my dogs.
Oh, where is this going?
Kill them. No, leave the dogs behind. Go on your anniversary trip. The dogs are going to love you just as much when you get back.
Maybe you're one of those people that just like, that you think of them as your kids and you like them to be wherever you're at.
Leave the kids behind too. Everybody stay at home.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just, but they're not. I don't care if you think about them as kids. They're not kids.
I think so leave the point here, though, is that he probably does this sort of thing
all the time.
This is right. just one example mm-hmm. of when he really fucked up.
Okay, honey, we're leaving the house. I'm going to put my pants on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, you got it. And he walks out.
Oh. Your pants are still hanging on the thing.
You got it, babe.
Yeah.
And, oh, damn it. Always walks out without his pants on. Okay, I'm going to renew my driver's license. Yours needs to be reviewed as well. Okay, babe, soon you get back. Just totally fuck it.
You have to go to the border. Or
yeah.
I'm renewing my passport.
Oh.
Yours is coming up too.
I've done something like that.
But my wife takes care of everything. It's
yeah.
it's weird. It's kind of one of those things like
how are you alive?
Yes. But it's like, I didn't know how my clothes magically just get cleaned. I don't even know.
Whoa,
what
the coffee
happens?
Where how's it? How nothing on the coffee table
yeah,
again?
Exactly.
That's
They're
crazy.
Just mysteriously gone. And I think that's how a lot of husbands are. Amber, whenever we go on a trip, Amber's got everything she packs for 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
to make sure when we get to where we're going, we have everything we need. And then when I get there, I'm like, where's the blah, blah, blah? And she's like, it's in the
P3.
This tote. Yeah, it's tote 3 on the left side.
She has them like organized in a grid.
Yeah.
A5.
But then if I do need something, and then it's kind of like, I'm like, well, I don't know where you put it because you packed.
You did it.
So,
you're the one that ruined this.
You did this to
you
me.
You did this to everybody.
Yeah.
You ruined the whole trip.
This is what you get for being so prepared.
This is what you get for trying so
it's
hard.
It's like you did this, but now everyone needs you
to move on.
You know, yeah, exactly.
This does remind me a little bit of the differences between men and women packing, like for vacation.
Sure.
It is so comical. It always will be. I know this isn't a new thing, but it does remind me of that, where like I'll be packing and, you know, Aaron would be like, just wearing one pair of shoes. I'm like, yeah, well, just like, yeah, the ones I'm wearing. Like, that's it. What about, yeah, I go out for a fancy dinner. I'm like, well, I'm on vacation. And these are the only shoes I got.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not my fancy shoes. Okay. You bring any button-ups? Yeah, one. what if it doesn't match? You're like, then fuck, it doesn't match. But I'm not. That's all that's going in this suitcase. I'm not doing this. I count. How long have we gone? 3 days? Cool. Three shirts, three socks, three pairs of underwear. Not three shoes, one pair of shoes, one pair of pants. That's fucking it. What if something gets on your pants? I guess I'll have some dirty pants.
Yeah, then I have a stain in my pants.
Right. That's it. I'm not packing multiple things in case I drop a hamburger in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't done that in like 30 years. So I'm probably not going to do it on vacation.
I do it all the time. So when I go, I buy like a new pack. You know this. I just buy a pack of shirts, like a pack of clean white shirts. And I will spill on them immediately, but I have, you know, four or five other ones.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I throw in, like, when we went camping, I had two pairs of shorts, mm-hmm. one for just wearing around, one for swimming, and I had like four or five
swimsuit too. I'll bring that
white
too.
Shirts.
Yeah,
and then that was it, and some flip flops and a pair of shoes in case we walked
right
somewhere.
Yeah,
and then she packs for both boys, herself
and you,
and all the food and everything. All I had to do was just get some clothes for me in my bag.
You had to wake up.
Yeah.
You had to wake up and like drive the family to the airport.
And honestly, it's just like she'll pack everything. All I have to do is like Tetris everything into the truck or the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be doing that and it won't fit right. So I'll start screaming and yelling and getting pissed off. And then she's like, oh, just let me do it. And then she does it. And then all I did that day was bitch and moan that I couldn't pack it in, and she got it packed in. So I really did nothing for the entire trip.
Right. Well, I think that is going to play true for a lot of marriages and relationships. And I don't know exactly why that goes out that way, but
because men and women don't belong together.
I know, we've covered that. Jesus. So, but Julia, I get what you're saying, but I just don't think it's going to change. So no,
you know who you married.
Right. Well, that can change too.
Yeah.
Like maybe he used to help. Maybe he used to cook and now he doesn't do shit. And you wish you were never in this terrible place.
Well, maybe she just started doing all of that and she liked doing it. So he was like, all right, you can do it.
You like doing it.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I just do it. And so, oh, sorry. I misread the.
I love it. It's like, well, you just love doing the dishes so much. I didn't want to step in and take that away from you. I'm doing this because you won't do them, you ass.
I thought that was your favorite hobby. What? Loading the dishwasher is not my hobby.
It's like, I like whittling. You like doing the dishes. Right. I thought we had it figured out.
Whittling?
Something. I don't know.
Like the old common backstory of Big Whittler.
Yeah, he
big
goes out on the porch and just whittles while she's doing the after dinner. He whittles himself a toothpick after dinner on the porch and she's in there doing all the dishes.
Whittle a toothpick?
Yeah.
I love the idea of starting with a big ass stick and then
giant
down to
stick.
Instead of just taking one piece off and making a toothpick, all the way down to find one toothpick.
He has like a giant log and just he takes it on a lathe, lathes it all the way down, and then whittles it down into a sharp toothpick.
Can you help me with the housework? Yeah, 1 second. I'll get everyone done whittling.
He's got his lathe going. He's just
I didn't know you were a whittling enthusiast. I like you. I want to learn more about this. Okay,
whittle me this.
Whittle me this. Whittle me this, Brian. Whittle me, Brian.
All right.
Okay, here's the second case. Ready?
Yep.
Parker's girlfriend will often stop doing chores will often start doing chores or blasting the TV first thing in the morning. He appreciates her helping around the house, but doesn't think it needs to be done at the ass crack of dawn. What do you guys think?
This is the men and women thing.
I know.
It really is.
I'm keeping the theme going. So here was the original story. It says, hey guys, while I do appreciate my girlfriend vacuuming our house regularly, I wish that she did not vacuum at 6:30 a.m. when I am tired and especially irritated by loud noises. Is it unreasonable for me to think that vacuuming could happen later in the day when I am not half asleep? Additionally, it is not just vacuuming that early, it is the Real Housewives yelling at each other first thing in the morning because for some reason she watches that instead of the morning news. Okay. So we got here. This reminds me of when like your kids want to help with something. Mm-hmm. Like you appreciate it, it's cute, and they are trying to help out, but you also know they're gonna absolutely fucking butcher it.
Yep.
Like, they're going to do a job that you're like, that's great. All right, now go play. And then you just fix the stupid shit that they just did. But you want them to help out.
How do you tell them no when they want to help and be with you?
Yeah. Right. So in this case, you can fucking vacuum then, sir. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the trade-off that I would, or that would be how I would approach this argument. If she's going to vacuum at 6:30 in the morning, which I get it's annoying. But if you don't want her to do that, when you wake up, you better fucking vacuum then later in the day. because she's wanting to do it at a particular time. But the 6:30 in the morning thing is a little steep. I don't know if he's exaggerating. If you live in an apartment complex, I would burn down your unit if I was next to you and you started vacuuming at 6:30 in the fucking morning. But like, sorry. It's like, nope, you can't do that. So I get why he's mad. If it is truly 6:30, that's way too early. But if it's like, I mean, 8, I think that's okay.
There's a lot to unpack here, man.
I know.
Because it's lifestyle.
It's a lot to suck up.
Lifestyle, work schedule, laziness versus, what's the opposite of lazy?
Helpful? Useful?
No.
Motivated.
Energetic. Okay. So let's play out a couple scenarios here. Maybe she works odd hours and she likes to wake up, or maybe she's a person that likes to wake up early in the morning and he likes to sleep in or whatever.
It sounds like it.
So she just gets bored and wants to clean.
There's other things to clean. I get that. But again, he's not saying it's just the vacuuming. It's also blasting Real Housewives instead of watching the news.
Maybe there's a deeper thing. Like, she wishes he was up earlier with her.
Yeah.
To have the coffee or do whatever thing. Yeah. Maybe she's resentful because he likes to sleep in.
Could be.
But if he's working hard and he's trying to sleep and stay rested,
see,
I feel like that's a conversation you should be able to have, and like, let's drop it back an hour and a half.
I feel like there's maybe some more details that were needed for this message.
Yeah.
Because if he's working his ass off, like, does he work late nights and he has to, like, he doesn't get home or go to bed until like 10 o'clock at night. And so he's up until 2 o'clock, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so then fuck you for vacuuming at 6:30. But we don't know the ins and outs of this thing. Just based off the details here, though, and I do find it funny that he is implying that she blasts the Real Housewives show. I'm not sure what city she watches, which is the Real Housewives of what?
Atlanta, probably.
Instead of the morning news. Like, if the morning news on full volume was any better than Real Housewives. Like,
I think he's just, he obviously.
Coming up next from the White House! Joe Biden falls asleep on the stairs!
Everyone's yelling.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know what to think about that. Well, I'll tell you what to think. It's super loud. It's like, music to my ears.
Some of those things can be when they get in a feud. You know, like,
I'll tell you, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's some deeper stuff going on here, maybe. He probably just cannot stand that she watches Real Housewives. So he hates that show anyway. He's like, why would my girlfriend, what's wrong with her? Why does she watch that show? I like to be informed with real stuff. She's watches that.
Fantasyland.
To me, that feels like there's something going on there, because blasting that real, like, calling out that show.
He must hate that shit.
I feel like, so that, there's something there.
Something more. Yeah.
The vacuum at 6:30, I feel like that's, yeah.
He has to be exaggerating. I've never lived with somebody or met somebody who's vacuuming at 6:30 in the morning.
And is she vacuuming while she's watching? So,
hello? Oh, Ezra, what's up?
Camera 6 flickering.
That's okay. We don't need camera 6. You guys can't hear it right now. Ezra is out there monitoring the cameras right now. Thank you, buddy. That's just Brian's computer and we're not showing it. So it's okay. Okay, I love you.
Thanks, Ez.
Thank you, Ezra. Yeah, so he popped down here. I told him to come and check on the screen out there to make sure there's no errors.
You're like, in 7 minutes, he counted. He had his timer probably right, upstairs. Right. 7 minutes going down.
So one of the cameras was flickering. He wanted to make, because people were saying, I was yelling about the dogs barking and they couldn't even hear it because of the software that cuts everything out. So they probably maybe couldn't even hear those knocks. So I want to make sure they know why we just had that pause.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
What?
What was Housewives. He must hate that show.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. There's something else there. Yeah.
What I was saying was, is she vacuuming and watching that show? Because if she's vacuuming, then has to turn it up louder to hear it over the vacuum.
Just so loud.
Dude, imagine how loud that would be. Those women screaming at each other over the top of a vacuum. If that's the case,
you
got
to move.
I think he's got something serious going
problem.
There.
Yeah, serious problem on your hands. Okay, well, I mean, I'm going to have to, if it's not vacuuming, I mean, if she's up before you, she gets to watch the show. I mean, in this house here, the main TV was on the opposite wall of the bedroom, and when Ezra's watching a show out there, the bass does carry in there, but I just turn up the fan louder in the bedroom to stop that from carrying through.
Show, the treble was what I'd be worried about.
No, I know.
High pitch.
I'm just saying I'm not going to go out there like and scream at it unless it's obnoxiously loud. But if she's cleaning, as long as she's not vacuuming and she wants to watch a show while she's cleaning, I think you have to figure out a way to drown out the sound yourself. She is helping. She's awake. She gets to have a life. She's not the creep around when you're just because you're sleeping and she's in the other part of the house.
I still think there's something more to this, man. I think like
she's holding the vacuum above him. She's vacuuming the comforter.
Yeah. I feel like she wishes that he wasn't sleeping in because like I know some
you're
women.
This thing's on the rocks.
I'm saying there's something going on because I know like when there's times when like if Amber and I have been in an argument or something, when she does the dishes a little bit extra louder, you know, like
clank.
Like, you hear it? I'm so tired, I want to sleep in, but she had to get up with the kids or whatever.
Oh yeah,
like you're gonna hear those dishes ramming into the thing,
the cupboards that don't normally make noise.
Yeah,
are making a little noise.
Exactly. Yeah. So
okay,
yeah, I feel like if I'm wrong, let me know.
Yeah, you can send it in.
We're
missing some details. I hope you guys are doing great, Parker. I hope you and your girlfriend are it's fucking a wonderful relationship. and it's exactly what it is right here, and there's no other details going on.
Yeah.
But please write in and give us some more so we can make an official ruling, because I don't think we can do something with this.
And I want to hear
from the girlfriend too.
Yeah.
We can't hear her over the vacuuming.
Right.
So that's going to be a
problem. She's going to be screaming into something.
It's all caps.
It's going to be caps, yeah.
And then I have one quick story before we move on to the good news for this week. And this just is jumping back to having kids help you do stuff. This happened to my friend who has a kid, and kids are dumb. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a pretty big lawn. I'm not sure how big, but he lives out of town. So it's probably a couple acres. And he paid his son to mow the entire thing, right? So, or not, he had to mow like the front part because with all the trees and stuff, it's not easy for the riding lawnmower, that kind of thing. So his son decides to help out and mow the lawn. He just watched him get it started, and he was old enough to do it, so he let him go. And then when he's all done, he comes in, he goes, "Look, Dad, I did it." And he looks out there and like everything slanted. And he goes out there and looks at it, and his son had the wheels set to different heights. So it cut all the grass at an angle.
That's funny.
It had like little racing stripes. Where one part was like half an inch, and then the other part was an inch and a half, and it was just like the kid never noticed what was happening and just cut angle slices.
That's funny because I've done the front and the back thing before, but never the sides. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm guessing it must have been an older lawnmower because like the front moves, and I've seen those. I think I just got rid of that where they don't adjust at the same time. Like now it goes up and down, but these ones it was like left and right, and right. You had to move
all
each
four,
one.
All four. You have to, and then it was a pain in the ass. Sometimes you catch your finger.
Putting
it in there.
Why is it so hard to push? Am I a big baby?
My mom, I mowed her lawn when I was home back. She has this, it's like, you know, I had cruise control, like, but it was sweet cruise control. And I had a mulch and bag option. It was like a freaking Escalade. It was nice. She got it when she bought her car. They got it for free. Honda.
What? I never even thought about buying a car and having them toss on a lawnmower.
Yeah, that's what they did. And it wasn't like a piece of shit lawnmower. It was like doozy of a lawnmower.
It sounds
best
like
lawnmower I think I've ever
touched.
Yeah.
Laid hands on.
Yeah. I almost wanted a CRV just to get the lawnmower.
We don't have time to go into this, but now I'm just thinking about weird shit you can wrangle into a car sale. I don't know. Pretty good deal, but I could use a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Air fryer.
I need a patio chair.
What? Just one chair.
Right. Hell of a deal on this minivan. I could use a ceiling fan, though. Yeah, no problem. You got it. 3-speed? Yeah. One that goes real quick.
You have to pay to get it installed.
No, you don't.
Oh, the
dealership is
installation.
And installation better be covered. You got it, man. Right. Jesus Christ.
You toss in installation, you got yourself a deal.
All right. Enjoy your new Tesla.
Sign the paper.
Enjoy your Lamborghini. Like you're just, you're buying $100,000
ceiling fan.
You won't buy it unless they pitch in with a fucking toss in a ceiling fan.
I love that because it's like a CRV is kind of one of those things. Like, is it a CRV or one of these things? Like, it's like a middle class kind of car. Like, maybe a lawnmower could swage you. But if you're going to buy a Lamborghini,
like a Bugatti?
But you're like, are you throwing that ceiling fan? You got yourself a deal.
Could use an air fryer. They're like, what? Fuck, fine.
It's like $300,000 on a car and a $60 air fryer.
But you know what would look really good in this car? What? New pair of shades?
Like, one of those window shades. It's like American flag and an eagle.
One that looks like Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, fucking, you got it, buddy.
Ka-chow.
Okay. Ka-chow. All right, let's look at some good news. You ready?
All right.
Okay.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Hooray, we aren't doomed.
All right, so this was a story I came across and had to put it on the show because it is so nice. And it just reminds me that everybody's terrible. And it's out of Florida. So sometimes a good thing happens in Florida. Man gave away $13,000 to strangers to spread mom's message. In a world full of cynicism and negativity, some small but persistent acts of kindness by people can offer hope. A Twitter thread, which is now going viral, has shared one such story of a man who gives money to strangers in a hope of spreading the message of universal love. On Sunday, Kevin Kate, an ad maker, tweeted a photo of an old man sitting at a restaurant table with a bunch of loose cash and small pieces of paper that had "Love Everybody" written on them. So what he would do is he would sit in this same Waffle House in Midway, Florida, and then he would write these notes on either $1 or $5 note, and then he would give it to him, and he just says, "Love everybody." And he just walks around and hands them out. And to date, yeah, he's handed out $13,000, all in the name of his mom, who he, you know, obviously admired her passion and her care for fellow man. But how cool is that?
That's pretty sweet.
It's sad in a way that other people, that would happen. And you probably, how many people went, "No thanks"? Just like in a weird, scared thing. Like, is this guy a weirdo?
Yeah.
Or if he's going to give me money and he's going to expect something from me. Like, "Oh, I don't want your dollar." It's peasant. Like, just weird shit. Whatever the reason is, I wonder how many people were like, "No thanks. You can keep it."
Well, it would kind of suck as if you see him, like, say he had a 20.
I pull up in a Lamborghini and he's like, "Love everybody." Fucking slap the $5 out of his hand. The fuck out of here, Mr. Kate.
Put your shades on and walk.
Put shades on and walk into the Waffle House with my new microwave. Hey, where can I plug this bitch in? Get the fuck out of my way. Shoving your head, like, just carrying in a fucking air fryer.
Under your arm.
Fuck you. Do I look like I need your dollar? Piss off. Jesus Christ. Waste my fucking time. See, that would be more of a Florida story.
Yeah.
That'd be more Florida than this nice guy doing nice stuff. But
I think it'd be kind of funny, like, this guy, if you're sitting in that Waffle House and you see someone walking by and he, like, hands a guy a 20, says, "Love everybody." And the person's like, "Oh, wow, thank you." Mm-hmm. And you're like, "Oh, I got to get in on that some action." Mm-mm-mm. You walk over there and he, like, hands you a one.
"Love everybody." Well, not really, huh, Kevin?
Well, the other guy got 20.
I guess love him a little more, though, am I right? I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah.
Fucking slap him. Hey, thanks for nothing, buddy.
Wait around for him to give you more.
Just do the little, the Home
keep
Alone,
going.
The,
yeah,
the gum
going.
Thing.
Yeah.
Plenty more where that came from. No, I'm all set, sir. Okay. Remember that? Okay. You remember that scene. Okay, so last episode, which was 6 months ago, I skipped this because I wanted to make sure that we had time to do it. Time to give it its proper air to breathe. So we're gonna move on. Looks some internet.
Oh, my underwear is so itchy.
All right, cool.
The internet is pretty wild. Depending on your browsing habits, you can either experience something super cool or go to prison. Crazy, right? Let's check it out together as a couple. Hey, look what I found.
Yes, that's awesome.
All right, Brian, this is, I have been so excited to show this, not to you, but also the rest of our kids, because I don't know why I find this. This is exactly when I go on to the World Wide Web, www.
The World Wide Web.
World Wide Web dot www. This is exactly the shit that I want to find, okay?
Okay.
This is a website that's called OutHorse, okay? So what they have done, You click on the link because I can't show you my computer.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay, so this is in Iceland.
Okay.
And I don't know how this idea came to be.
What?
So they have horses that will type your away emails when you're on vacation.
What in the world? It's a giant keyboard and there's horses walking on the keyboard.
And they train the horses to walk around on the keyboard.
And you pick a
and
horse.
And you pick which horse you want.
You pick the horse you want.
You pick the horse you want. They have names that you're never going to be able to pronounce. But they
Lita
do have.
Lita Starna fra Havi Futorti.
But Litla, he types fast, but might take a nap. And then Hrynmeiner, assertive, efficient, shiny hair. Hecla, friendly, trained, and corporate buzzwords.
Oh, my God.
God, this is so funny. So, yeah, they just show these horses how to walk on keyboards. And what you do is you pick a horse, and then you enter your name when you're going on vacation. Then you enter your email, and then it'll set up your away message. So when people write you, they just get back like LLLJJJWWXRRRT because you can outhorse your email.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how high were they when they
so
came up with this?
Outsource, but outhorse.
See? Now you're putting it all together here. But it's on visiticeland.com and then /outhorse-your-email.
He's really giving it to that keyboard with his hooves.
Blap, blap. Yeah, custom-built gigantic keyboard. There's a full video that you can watch. We're not going to watch it right now. But please go and check this out. I don't know why this is so fucking funny to me, but he's just... They put like, I don't know, they put food or smellies, but yeah, they'll, they go on there and they'll type your away messages. That's it.
He's just wanna, flicking at it with his hoof.
Just very assertive.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was it.
That's funny.
I guess.
It just says nay when you someone emails you.
Nay. WWJJJRKFFFTTTTTTT. Okay. Moving on. We're going to hear from some of our kids right now. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's hear what you guys think.
Really? You want to talk to me? Wow, that's cool.
All right, our first email is coming in from our popcorn-loving child, Butters, who writes, I don't know, whose name's, I'm just, hey guys, longtime listener, I've been with you guys since the beginning. We get it.
First time emailer?
Yeah, it must be. On your recent episode, you guys discussed a prisoner choosing how he wanted to die, and it was very close to a real thing that has happened. My cousin lived a crazy life from hitting a $10,000 half-court shot wearing cowboy boots and jeans to getting arrested in Canada for COVID violations and getting a nickname for it. You can Google Alaskan Romeo. In February of 2021, he went missing. They found his Jeep parked at the Grand Canyon, but the motorcycle he was always hauling around was gone. You guessed it. Wow. He Thelma and Louised himself off a cliff into the canyon. The why came later when he's about to get popped for defrauding the government by making up 75 employees to get $1.25 million in that PPP loan.
Oh my God, dude.
I have a sense of humor about it because it's so out of left field. Kind of a downer story, but if you want to use it, you can leave my real name out. You can just call me Butters. Thanks, idiots.
Someone did it.
Did it. He wasn't on fire and it wasn't an RV.
Yeah. But still pretty damn cool, though.
I know. But what a crazy life. I love the he said pretty crazy life and the two examples.
Yeah.
The highlight
yeah.
was winning $10,000 hitting a half court shot wearing cowboy boots and jeans. Like that was the apex
yeah.
of this dude's
well,
life.
Well, I mean, how many people get to do that?
And get the nickname Alaskan Romeo.
How many people get to take even attempt the shot? And then, did he make it or just attempt it?
He must have made it, dude.
Life from hitting it. Okay, he did hit it.
You win $10,000 for missing a half-court shot?
No, I was thinking like,
sick fucking contest.
He just got to attempt the, like, that was his claim to fame, was just getting to attempt it.
No, he won 10 grand.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
And it was something good that happened in Cowboy
Boots.
Probably
what he bought his motorcycle with.
Okay, maybe. Or like, that he started like, he hired one employee and he's like, this is working out pretty good. Yeah. I'm going to fake hire 74 more. 1.25 million.
How do you
million?
Think you're going to get away with that?
I don't know, but if he did, that would have been cool. What would it be like? How did you know you were in too deep when you're like, oh shit? Like when it actually worked and you, 1.25 million? Did you do anything cool with that money before you yeeted yourself into the Grand Canyon? So many questions.
You
and
know
Butters
what,
might have answers.
What it would have been cool is if he had it like in a backpack. And he's just ripping
it up.
Yeah, opens it up. He's just going out the back. As he goes off the jump, there's just a trail of cash.
Smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Just slow-mo GoPro mounted.
You know what would be kind of cool?
What?
It's to just do, like let's say you don't want to hit the, well, I would just say, like, you do that, so you get the rush of falling, but then you pop yourself.
What?
You know, like, so you don't actually hit the ground.
I think it's half a dick's in one hand, two in the other, whoever the saying goes.
Because what if you did live?
I mean, you're not living.
You never know.
What?
Things could happen.
What are you talking about?
You land not so bad.
Give me 100 dudes on motorcycles, okay? And jumping into the Grand Canyon.
101 of them are dying.
No one's coming out being like, ow, like, oh man, I broke
there's
everything.
Always, but there's always one exception.
There's no all way the time. Not into the Grand Canyon on a motorcycle.
What if you land in like a tree and you just, you don't fall so hard and you just break everything?
You're going to hit maximum velocity into a tree branch. You're not, no one's coming out.
You never know.
Okay.
Weirder things have happened. Have they?
Have they? I don't know. Okay. You read our second story.
Okay. Our second email is from our son, Cody. I can't read.
God damn it.
Our second email from our son, Cody, was found folded into a paper airplane and stuck in a plant.
Good one.
You're so funny.
Thank
Joe.
You. I'm so funny.
So clever.
I wrote that one.
Yeah.
Someone hire me. Yeah. I don't have a job.
I read it like I didn't write it. So
read
yeah.
it. I read it like I didn't
couldn't
read
even
it.
Read it at all.
Okay. What do you say?
Okay, fellas, I'm 46 and I don't really care if I'm hanging dong in the locker room. Okay, so he starts early.
Sure.
But if I don't just dilly-dally and air dry my But I don't just dilly-dally and air dry my shit. I was in the Army for 22 years and we didn't have separate shower stalls. Hell, in some places we didn't even have stalls in the sitter.
I'm guessing
the shitter probably. Mm-hmm. Just a row of toilets.
Sweet.
I suppose it's all about your experience with the dick.
Mm.
Watching people pee in a cup. Yep, I've done that. Setting up a concertina wire and tearing the shit out of your pants while going commando.
Yikes.
Yep, been there too. I'm at the who gives a shit what anyone thinks point. Get naked, get showered, get dry, and don't fuck around talking ball game stats, ball. That'll just get weird. Love the show, guys. Solid 3 out of 5 stars, and sorry for the long email. It wasn't that long.
No.
Long as his
long
dong.
As his balls, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. P.S. That's from Cody. P.S. Go fuck your ketchup bullshism. That is all. Good
Fine.
Day.
All right. Okay. So he's going dick out. And I think he answered the question. I was wondering, when will I stop giving a shit about my dick being out in the locker room? Cody says it's 46 years old. Maybe he's been doing this for a long time. I mean, Army for 22 years. Maybe he's been dicks out since the Army.
That's what I was going to say.
But you can't. Yeah. Here's the thing, Cody. Thank you for your service. But but anyway, because you are comfortable with the dick out in the locker room, does that mean everyone else wants your dick out in the locker room?
Those old fucking guys are comfortable with their dicks too. That's not what we're talking about.
No, it's just where do we go? Where's the line? And I guess he's saying just get your dick out and fucking dry off and get your pants on.
So
don't stand there, hands on the hips, being like, "How about the M's last night?"
That's the difference.
Lost another one.
If you're taking a shower, you get over there and you're standing there naked with your towel, and you're kind of like, even if you're drying your hair, you're drying your legs, and you're standing there naked, fine. But it's just the casual, okay, I'm not even drying off anymore. I'm just standing here having a casual conversation. Yeah. That's the weird
part. That's the part, okay.
Yeah, if you're just standing there and you're actually in motion doing something.
Like cartwheels?
Getting dread. If you're making
jumping
some attempt to do something.
It's not weird. You're doing jumping jacks.
Helicopter.
Helicopter?
Yeah.
I never heard it. I guess helicopter.
Yeah, I have a song called Helicopter.
It's funnier and better.
Yeah.
See, you're funny too. That's cool.
Yeah, that was way better than your line.
I know that. I'm fuck. It's so hot in here. You ready to get out of here?
Yeah, I'm sweating. Okay. My ass itches.
Well, feels good to be back in the figurative saddle with you,
Mr.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm glad we got through one just to kind of get it out of the way and get back into it a little bit.
Yep. And again, you can support us on Patreon. Everybody, all the silly geese that are on there right now, thank you so much for your support. That is going to be the main way for a very long time that this show even gets to keep going. And again, we will be looking to hire a producer down the line. We'll figure out what that goal looks like. Head over to Patreon. We'll have a link in the episode description if you want to support us on there.
And we'll get some stuff in there soon.
Yeah,
we've been slacking because there's a couple things have been going on.
Our first month on Patreon was a real fucking bad time.
Yeah.
We did very little bonus content. That's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun there, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Something you want to see on the show, email that to heyguys@canyoudontpodcast.com. Rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And that's pretty much it. Are you ready to wrap this shit up?
Let's wrap her up like
a what?
A wiener going.
Wiener in a locker room.
Yeah.
That's better.
There you go.
Okay.
Good God. Wrap it up already, huh?
Okay, sent our way by comedy school dropout son Randall.
Mm-hmm.
I got one for you. Ready?
Yep.
What did the socks say to the pants?
I don't know.
Sup, britches?
Because britches are pants.
And bitches have pants.
And bitches.
Have pants, too.
And it's almost bitches. There's just an R in there.
Mm-hmm. You're getting it. Yeah. It's all coming together. Love you, buddy. Good to be back.
Yes.
I'll see you next week.
I'm excited. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye!